Welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone podcast. I'm Ben Maxwell, or a simulation thereof, if you were listening to last week's. With me is Tracy Erickson
Hidey-ho.
and Will Wilson.
Hello.
It's getting the podcast is getting a little bit like the Today program on Radio 4. I don't know if you listen to Radio 4 ever, BBC Radio 4, Tracy, in
No.
America, but it's a morning show on every day of the week. But the presenters are always different. You never know who you're going to get. It's like a pick mix. So
Oh.
I mean, Will, you must know the show.
Well,
You don't listen to Radio 4?
No,
I've publicly outed you.
I listen to banging tunes on Radio One.
Oh no.
No, I don't really. I don't listen to any radio. I'm like a
Okay.
radio man.
Well, this is nothing like Radio 4. I'll revise my statement.
I know, we can talk about the latest book releases if you want.
Yeah, and the shipping forecast, of
Oh,
course.
shipping forecasts.
North at Sarah, south at Sarah.
I don't talk dirty.
Oh, amazing. So, have you been well in my absence? I've been away for a few weeks now. I know you must be missing me.
Everything's falling apart, basically.
The cup
Really?
drained from the Skype window. It's now just gray.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm glad that misery has been left in my wake. It's how I like to walk out of a room.
Misery loves company. That's why we had you come back.
Awesome. Right, should we do some news? I feel like some news.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
Let's
well.
share.
News! First up then, probably what I think is one of the biggest stories is that PR experts, it's always anonymous, but PR experts, plural, claim that the iPhone 4 recall is inevitable. That Apple's posturing over their aerial issue is not going to go away, and that perhaps they've taken the problem a little lightly. And in order to restore brand confidence, they're going to have to pull them back in as if they were Toyota. I mean, to be fair, iPhones haven't been killing people in road accidents, so it's perhaps not quite as big a deal as Toyota's issue. Or, for instance, BP's oil spill. But it's up there. It's definitely third in that list, which is quite a high position.
Third out of three.
Third out of three. But in the Olympics, that's good, isn't it?
Still a bronze
It's
medal.
a bronze
That's
medal,
pretty.
yeah, of awful.
Those things are heavy, apparently. Really
Yeah.
heavy.
Maybe they could plug the oil leak with one of those then.
Just collect all of the Olympic medals of all the athletes in the US and just pile them on top. Thing called the medal shot.
Could be a new game. They could throw them out to it.
Oh no, you realize that you've just sparked development at like four develop in the, like garage development studios somewhere in Bangladesh.
I charge for my consultancy, though, so they will need to. They'll be hearing from me as soon as I see evidence of these games.
I like the fact that these PR people, looking at the article, I like the fact that they've got titles like Crisis Communications Expert. Sounds like a sort of, I don't know, it sounds a lot more serious than, I imagine they just sort of sit in an office and somebody says, do you think a recall would be bad? And they go, yeah. But their title is Crisis Communication. Now I can't hear anyone.
How do you spin that? I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, crisis, the word crisis makes me think of like a volcano erupting underneath New
Yeah.
York City or something. Like,
Yeah.
and I can just see a team of PR people being like, okay, how are we going to spin this?
Yeah, exactly. And they won't recall it. I mean, there's no way they're going to
Well, they
recall
won't remember.
it. Just give them a bumper and they will forget that the volcano erupted underneath the streets of Manhattan.
No, they won't recall. Although, another piece of news. Sorry, I'm hijacking your hosting, Ben.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Although it is suspicious, isn't it, how they're announcing something tomorrow about the iPhone 4. They've got a special announcement.
A special announcement?
Well, what's so suspicious about that? What do you mean?
Well, it's just that, you know, bumpers.
I don't think you should write TV mysteries. I think you should stick to games journalism.
I think the bumpers had something to do with the murder.
Sounds like a Wallace and Gromit episode. Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, it's special. They don't normally hold press conferences.
They don't normally hold press conferences.
Well, do they?
No, not for things. I mean, usually they'll do it for product announcements, but not like this. I mean, they're going to, I would be, if I was in Vegas or in Monte Carlo, or that island in China that has all the, Macau, that's it called. I would put money down on Apple saying everybody gets a free bumper because that's the easiest, cheapest thing to do. And I was reading some reporting, by NBC that was saying that it would essentially cost them $175 million to just give everyone a bumper, which is a day's revenue for Apple. So, you know, that I think versus doing a product recall, which would cost them about $1.5 billion, they'll just do the bumpers. I mean, this is not the first time they've done something like this before. Remember, well, I guess this was only U.S., so you guys wouldn't remember. But when Apple launched the very first iPhone, they launched it at $600 U.S. It did not sell very well. It sold so poorly, in fact, that Apple had to drop the price by $200 like 4 months after it had come to market in order to boost sales. And it infuriated a lot of people who were day one adopters because they had essentially been charged $200 more than everyone else who was getting a new iPhone at $400. So there was enough public outcry where Apple issued $100, I think it was either store credit or a refund, at Apple stores. You could go in and get $100 back because people were so infuriated. That wasn't that long ago. So, you know, And to be fair, you know, that's really kind of that's the good thing to do. You know, I think people have a tendency, especially with Apple, to really blow minor things out of proportion. I do think that there's obviously a problem with the reception, but at the same time, if it's as acute as it's being made out to be, then why are we not hearing? You know, like I haven't experienced those problems. You know, I know other people who have iPhone 4s. They haven't experienced the problem. So I have a feeling that it's a small group that's really vocal. And I think Apple was, you know, initially was like, well, we are not experiencing these problems. I think they're now taking stock of it, and I think they'll address it. But if tomorrow they don't do a good enough job and they don't offer the bumper or they just try to assuage everyone's fears without actually doing anything, I think that'll make the problem worse. At the same time, if they do offer bumpers or they offer a solution and people still bitch about it, then I think that's going too far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's perhaps testament then, you know, to the quality, without wanting to sound like an Apple advert, of their products. If, you know, the 3GS is an amazing piece of kit. They've long been, although they don't have quite the same installed user base as PCs, they've, you know, they found certain industries where they've become the standard, and people just, you know, reliability and efficacy are synonymous with Apple. So if you have even a small thing like this, I guess it just seems like a much bigger blot than, for instance, Microsoft's Red Ring of Death on their 360 when everyone was rooting for them to fail anyway. You know, no one expected that they were going to do anything. So it kind of just didn't come as much of a surprise.
That was a great point. That really is. I mean, I think this whole thing reminds me. I do think it is a problem. I do think they need to address it, but I think it's also easily addressed. But it also the situation reminds me of when people were freaking out back in April about their iPad not being, you know, the Wi-Fi being very intermittent, it's you'd connect to a Wi-Fi hotspot, and then the iPad would drop the Wi-Fi signal, and you'd have to go into the settings and reconnect to the Wi-Fi. It's an annoyance, and because much of the device is so well designed otherwise, it casts a spotlight on that, relatively minor problem. And so people were freaking out about it, saying, how dare Apple release this broken product because it's not staying connected to Wi-Fi. Well, does that make the device crappy? Absolutely not. It just means that they need to fix it, right? It's just an error. And compared to the vast majority of consumer electronics that are out on the marketplace, Apple products across the board have a higher standard of quality. And I think that, you're absolutely right. I think we're kind of overlooking that when people are complaining about issues that are compared to other products are minor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's flip it the other way then. The iPhone 4 has already been jailbroken, according to screenshots of a hacker who's retired from his photo, I assume, age, 10, 11? He seems quite young. What's he done? Yeah. You go for it, Will.
If I'm right in thinking, this is GeoHot?
That's correct, yeah.
This developed, actually, yesterday, in the fact that he actually faked the screenshots. Andy.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
He just wanted a bit of attention, apparently. I don't know. I can't remember his exact quote, but it basically went on along the lines of, everyone, please remember me. Jailbreaking isn't quite as cool as it used to be. Doodle-dum, doodle-dee. And then he vanished into a mushroom.
Right. Wow. And now we're giving him the attention he craves.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, all right, well, we better move on then. So, speaking of wankers, Spirited Away creator Miyazaki. He's likened. Did you like that?
That was good.
I like that.
Thanks. Rob will like that one. I can't wait for him to hear it. He's like a father to me. He said that the iPad is, using the iPad is a little bit like masturbating, which seems like probably an extreme comparison. But he doesn't like everyone on the train with their hand gestures on their iPads. That must mean that there's a massively installed iPad user base where he is. I have never been on a train where everyone is on iPads. That seems like a scene from a sci-fi movie to me.
I've never actually seen.
And what kind of motion are they doing that looks like masturbation?
He said, what was his quote? He said, for me, there is no feeling of admiration or no excitement whatsoever. It's disgusting. On trains, the number of those people doing that strange masturbation-like gesture is multiplying. maybe it was unrelated to iPad. Maybe, in Japan, there were just people masturbating on the train.
With an iPad? Just the iPad was next.
On an iPad.
On an iPad.
And multiplying.
Multiplying.
And what kind of masturbation? Are we talking about male or female masturbation? I mean, he's not clear about this. I just can't take him seriously.
Well, have you seen his films? When has he ever been clear?
Good point.
I guess commentators said, could have been. I don't know. I've got the link open. I think they suggested it could be the pinch to zoom motion. But I mean.
Really?
What
an odd technique.
Yeah, it's not my first one.
Break that out on special occasions.
Oh, I'll edit that. yeah.
Okay. Well, that's three news items we've had to swiftly run away from. I wanted to talk about the release of Quack on iPhone. Not particularly massive news in itself, but Richard Brown did a review and it got a silver award. You can read that review on the site. But it seems quite interesting that everyone talks about the resurgence of point and click gaming on the iPhone, but we also seem to be seeing the resurgence of the Amiga And it's software library. You know, you've got Babylonian, Babylon Twins, and now Quack, and you know, it won't be long before I'm sure every single character is trotted out. I'm waiting for New Zealand's story. I'm sure that will happen before long. You know, it's for all its kind of technologically advanced and sophisticated nature, it seems to be a hotbed for resurgence of the retro, which is I think an interesting juxtaposition. What do you think? Did you ever have an Amiga, Tracy?
I didn't.
No. That's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know how you how you coped.
Quite upset.
Well,
I don't know what to say to that. Like, I can't. I never experienced.
Neither do I, Tracy. Neither do I.
Well, I don't need to, because now all these games are coming out on iPhone and iPod Touch.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
There's an
get them all.
It's one of those systems with an extremely strong depth in its library. I mean, there was. That's what I'm most looking forward to. I mean, seeing some of the more unique and interesting titles that came out for the Amiga to come to the iPhone. I wouldn't...
Shuttlepuck Cafe, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, this isn't the Amiga podcast. We should get off.
Welcome back. It's the 17th of June, 1994.
Even Amiga power.
June, 15th of July, 1994. What an idiot.
Okay, then the last bit of news that I wanted to talk about, and only because I want to see all of our readers making a fool of themselves, is that there's currently a competition with another bird. I'm not being sexist, with Angry Birds, rather than Quack. And you can squawk on YouTube in order, and I assume if you squawk loud enough or ridiculously enough, you win an iPad 32 gigabyte 3G. Is it worth humiliating yourself for?
Sure. Why not? It's a $500 piece of equipment.
Yeah,
you know.
But then that squawk would be on the internet forever. You could save up $500.
Very true.
Then you could kind of live down the shame of it, I think.
Oh, I don't think it's that shameful. I mean, in the age of Facebook, I don't think squawking on YouTube is all that shameful when you've got drunken party pics, you know, posted by your friends on Facebook.
And Tracy's Facebook URL, everyone, is
Rimmer. Rimmer.
So, Tracy, what's the first rumor?
Bunker Bob.
Which is kind of relevant if we're in our own kind of bunker.
I know. It's very good. It's a new game that's the spiritual successor to Gorilla Bob. So it's a new twin stick shooter. You don't know Gorilla Bob?
I don't know. No.
Oh. Well, it was published by Chilingo and developed by this group, development studio called Angry Mob Games. And they don't, the story's not really fleshed out. It's basically they just want to send this rogue army, ex-army guy down there to basically shoot a bunch of Mexicali, you know, bandits. So that's what you do. And it's a twin stick shooter. Really good, nice graphics. Just it's fun. It's a fun game. We gave it an 8 out of 10 silver award. And this development team also did the Predators game that Chilingo published just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so they're working on a new twin stick shooter called Bunker Bob, where you play again as Bob, but it's in his earlier years when he was in the army, when he was fighting and basically killing all these guys that were nesting in bunkers. And that's what you do. So that's what they're working on, apparently.
Are there any announced, or has the rumor miner, heard about any of the new features that's going to be in this new game, or is it going to be mainly an extension on the Gorilla Bob?
Well, it's basically like a prequel, apparently, is what it sounds like. I think it's probably, from what the rumor mine told me, is going to essentially be largely the same as, in terms of setup, what Gorilla Bob was. So you have a single player campaign, you've got endless mode, for each of those levels, or not each of those levels, but an endless mode period. And then, leader, all the stuff that you would expect from a premium iPhone game with leaderboards and achievements through Crystal and all that sort of stuff.
Sounds good. I've just downloaded the free version to have a look. I love that there can be a kind of an ongoing universe and story on what is essentially a throwaway shooter. You can have a prequel and learn about his past. It's like Metal Gear Solid, but
Yeah,
Chunks is out.
exactly, right?
He's the new Snake.
I don't know. I really liked Gorilla Bob because it reminds me of. Do you guys know Just Cause on consoles? Okay, Just Cause, there was a spin-off game from the console series for PSP called Chili Con Carnage. You guys know that game?
No.
That game, I it wasn't it was okay. It didn't get a lot of attention when it came out. It's a few years old now. But it's actually one of the funnest over-the-top action games I've played. It's just so much fun. It's really stupid. I mean, it's just basically you play as this, American that goes and avenges his father's death because these Mexican drug lords basically slaughtered him. And so you go down to Mexico and you're basically just running and gunning. I mean, it's really like the whole goal is to rack up as many kills to get as many points as possible. And so you're stringing together kills. And it has this kind of over-the-top vibe and it's really funny. And Gorilla Bob kind of reminds me of that. It has that same kind of cheeky vibe. And I think it works really well. So the other rumor that the rumor miner has passed on to me, it regards Gangstar, which, as you guys may remember, listeners, we had a rumor a few weeks ago about the next Gangstar game coming from Gameloft, which is set in Las Vegas, supposedly called Gangstar Sin City. And I know that it's interesting because I've seen a lot of people talking about Gangstar Sin City on other websites, which I think is really funny. And I would encourage all of our listeners and readers, if you have something to contribute to any of our rumor mine discussions, feel free to post a comment on the site, on the article. We definitely welcome that conversation, because we know you guys are reading the articles, so feel free to discuss them on the site. But apparently, to go back to the rumor at hand for today, is you're going to be able to fly aircraft. It's not just going to be on the ground anymore. So you'll get automobiles and you'll gain access to pilot a helicopter, which is pretty cool.
That sounds like exactly the same evolution arc that Grand Theft Auto went
Yeah,
through,
I was about to
from
say.
Grand Theft Auto 3 to
Yeah.
Vice City. You got a helicopter in Vice City.
So the final rumor for this week, it's kind of a small one. We all know Square Enix is porting Chaos Rings, which is their original RPG for iPhone and iPod Touch to iPad. It looks like they're wrapping up work on that, and it should be out before the end of August.
I've got only one concern about that.
What's that?
The price. Because, I mean, the iPhone version is actually, I think it's the most
Awesome.
game you can get on the iPhone. So,
Yeah.
what's that going to do to the
Oh, sweet Jesus. I don't know. That's
iPad
I didn't think about that. That's a great point because it's $12.99. I think that's what,
GBP.
£7.99. That's expensive. I hope they don't raise the price on the iPad version. I don't.
You know they will, though.
Oh, jeez,
It'll
that's
be $60.45. Standard retail. It's the first step.
Here's the thing about iPad pricing that I don't quite understand. If you're porting the game and there's no change, there should be no change in the price. Because whoever is going to buy it on iPad wants it on iPad. They're not going to buy. You're going to discourage that a consumer from buying it on iPad if it's more expensive than the iPhone version. You're just going to cause that consumer to either not buy it at all because they don't have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, or they're just going to buy the iPhone iPod Touch version and play it on their iPad.
Well, I think it could be down to the fact that obviously I'm not a games development house. So if there are any out there, you can tell me how wrong and incorrect I am on this assumption. But I'm guessing it's possibly to do with redoing the assets to fit on a different to work on a different resolution screen. I mean, there's no point designing models at 1024 by 920 or whatever. Pick a very high resolution, and then and that just for a screen that's going to run at 320 by 240. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine that's what the work is. It's redoing all of the art, all of the all of the assets in the game, so it would look properly, look proper on an iPad.
But that's a guess. But unfortunately, consumers have a long history of not understanding the work that goes into a game. I mean, there hasn't been a point in history at all where people haven't said that games aren't overpriced. You know, that's
That said, I mean, to go to your point, Will, I think that is valid. I think that would I think that is was more valid 6 months ago than it will be in 3 months' time. You know, because you have iPhone 4 now, which is going to be leading development on iPhone and iPod Touch platforms, which runs at twice the resolution of iPhone 3GS, and that resolution is very much is just under the resolution for iPad. So I think any serious iOS developer is going to use iPad / iPhone 4 as their sort of leading platform, and you basically take that game and you develop your assets at that higher resolution, and then support older handsets by essentially cutting down the resolution.
Have you noticed? Go ahead. There's actually been a stealthy decline in the sort of iPad pricing, as it were. I mean, when it was first released, I can't remember which game I saw. I think it was one of Gameloft's that came out quite early with the iPad's lifetime. And I noticed on one of the websites that it dropped $3 just mysteriously.
Yeah.
After about a month. So yeah. $9.99 to $6.99. And I've noticed a lot of games that are actually selling on the iPad on the charts. They don't really get, except for Monkey Island 2, which is £5.99. Yeah. They don't really break that £4-5 mark, and just similarly to the iPhone. So I don't know whether actually the iPad is really gonna push the average price up as much as we initially thought, especially with the Mirror's Edge being £7.49, something like that.
Well, but there's a lot that's factoring into iPad as a gaming platform right now. And your observation is absolutely spot on. I mean, right? I mean, prices are coming down. I would contend that the reason why those prices are having to come down is a result of the lack of content. It's not really competitive right now on iPad. And as a result, you're seeing a lot. Look, you know, Gameloft is a good example of this. Gameloft has essentially released ports of their iPhone and iPod Touch catalog. Those aren't compelling. Those are not going to fetch, you know, a high price. Why is a consumer going to gravitate toward Nova HD? You know, I mean, that is not the sort of game. It's a fine game. There's nothing necessarily, you know, wrong with Nova, but I can experience that on my iPhone. It was designed for iPhone. Now, games like Monkey Island 2, when you sit down and you play it, you realize, hey, this actually works. This is worth the asking price. This is worth the £5.99 because, you know, LucasArts actually sat with an iPad. They developed it with features in mind for iPad. It feels natural. I think what's happening is that developers are looking at iPad as just another device with a big screen. Plop my iPhone game on there. even if it's a new game, you're seeing, you know, for example, Train Conductor 2 USA just launched earlier this week. There's a review up on the website. We you know, gave it a 7. It's a bronze award. It's a good game. But it's really designed for iPhone, you know, and they're plopping it on iPad because iPad is there. There's a high volume library on iPad, but very little to play because it's all just available. It's just re-releases or, you know, universal apps that also run on iPhone. That's just not the way if I was running a development studio, that's just not how I would do it. You know, I mean, I would say, you know, we're going to have an iPhone catalog and then we're going to do separate iPad apps, you know, and really hone in on it. I think if developers kind of approach iPad as more of a portable console, you know, kind of an Xbox shrunk down so that you can play it on your couch, I think it would be much more successful. I think developers would have a lot more success because you're just not going to be able to sell. You know, Fruit Ninja is a great example because here you have a great iPhone game that's 99 cents, 59p. I do not know how that game is going to sell at £2.99, you know, £4.99 on iPad. Why do I want to pay that much for a quick hit game? That's not what I use iPad for.
But then, you know, how... you know, economically, how easy is it for a developer to redirect resources to a bespoke project on a device that they don't necessarily know if the audience is big enough? When you can make something that covers the whole audience of both devices and just kind of zhuzh it up a bit and then charge more money, from a cynical point of view, that's a much more attractive path to take, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a shame.
What we've been playing!
Okay, well, that's the rumor mine, which was quite substantial, I thought. So let's talk about what we've been playing. And Tracy, you mentioned Fruit Ninja. I know that's one of the games you've been playing, so maybe you'd like to start.
Yeah, I've actually been playing Fruit Ninja on, it's available now on iPad. It was previously available early this year, released for iPhone and iPod Touch. We didn't review the iPhone and iPod Touch version, and I have to say, admittedly, because I didn't think it looked very appealing. And shame on me, because I've now given it a whirl on iPhone and iPad. And it's quite nice on iPhone. It's a real quick, casual game. It's something you would play while waiting for the train or for the bus. It's a high score game. It's basically you're just wanting to slash as many fruit as you can. So it doesn't have a lot of depth. But it's really kind of fun. I'm not so confident it's the sort of game I'd want to buy on iPad because iPad, you just don't, you know, it's the sort of device, you know, you sit on the couch and you want to sit for a half hour to an hour playing something. And I just don't think it really works in terms of fitting the device on iPad. I mean, it looks great. It has, you know, good features. It's, you know, functions very admirably on iPad, but I just don't think it fits the vibe of the device. That may be me. I also think it's a little bit much to be charging the price that they're basically charging four times as much for the iPad for Fruit Ninja HD as they are for the iPad or the iPhone app. So just from a pocketbook perspective, I would encourage people to buy the iPhone version of Fruit Ninja than the newly released HD version. So what are you playing, Ben?
I have been playing Deathspank mostly since it came out yesterday, and the week before that, Red Dead Revolver. So I haven't had a lot of time to play on my iPhone. But the games I have found, Owen on PSM3 recommended a game called High Noon to me. Now, High Noon is kind of... See, after doing the Farmville piece and not getting on very well with it, I've now gone and fallen in love with another freemium app, which is just really Farmville in disguise, but it, you know, on the back of Red Dead Redemption, it was really good. You you can upgrade your cowboy with clothes and hats and different weapons and armor, etc. for game money or real money. Obviously, I'm not going to use any real money, and you earn that by dueling. The duels, though, are against real people in the world, and they work really well. So you choose anyone from the lineup. It's got this really nice kind of cutout look to it, and then click the fight button if they accept. Then you just you have to holster your weapon. So to do that, you need to hold the phone upside down next to your side as if it's, you know, in an actual holster ready. And then you have to listen out for the bell, the church bell. When that bell goes off, you lift your phone and start aiming for the other person. They're moving left and right, and you're obviously moving left and right from their perspective. And you have to shoot them and kill them before they kill you. You aim by tilting the phone and you tap to kill them. If you run out of bullets, you tip the phone down. You look down on it, and your gun goes down, and the chamber flips out, and you have to tap the bullets in as if you're pushing them into the chamber, and then get back up and fight again. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because the whole thing, you find yourself when you're alone, no one's looking, actually starting to get into a kind of cowboy stance, just waiting, maybe twitching your fingers a bit on the other side, even though you don't need to, and you don't have a second iPhone. Actually, that would be interesting playing it. Two at once, but yeah, and then listening out for the that bell, and then just bring it up as fast as you can, and trying to kill the other person. And as you do, you're earning money, and your reputation's going up. The bounty on your head is going up, and you go up through the levels. And obviously, other people's bounties are rising as well. So, the higher level a person you kill, the more money you receive for the act. It's got quite a nice matching system as well, where it doesn't let you pick on people lower than your rank.
Tells you I like that. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, it is really good, and it's got a good sense of humor, and it's just the whole the aesthetic is really well thought through. All the fonts are right. The way it looks is correct. The sounds are good. The things that you can buy are the things you'd really want. I've got a waistcoat, and I really want the pork pie type cap. I want to look like Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood. But I can't yet because I can't afford the outfit. I'll get there. But yeah, I recommend it. And it's free because it's freemium. And obviously, they're trying to get you to buy things and be impatient. But if you're patient and stingy like me, you never need to spend a penny. So, yeah.
Sorry,
go on, Will.
Yeah, that, it sounds like the sort of ideal game that would actually benefit from the iPhone 4's gyroscope. When you pull the gun out, if you use the gyroscope to move left and right, you know, sort of jink, whilst using the accelerometer to actually aim, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's weird.
That would be cool. Because right now the movement is automatic.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other game I've been playing is a game called Mr. Space, which. I downloaded because it was free. I think it was on free app a day. I can't remember. I don't think it's free anymore. But all it is a little guy in a kind of on a metal floor, and there's a ceiling above him with a hole in it. And you've got two buttons, and you can move to one of, you know, I think several spaces, and you've got to move to all of the gaps, and the floor and ceiling come together, and they crush you if you're not in a gap. Gradually, the geometry gets more and more complicated, and the gaps seem, they're more and more ambiguous as to which ones you can fit into and which ones are right, and the floor starts to get more, complicated as well. So you're not sure exactly. You have to really look to see how these are going to piece together. And at first, it seems ridiculously easy and a bit dull, but obviously the clanking jaws of this room closing together speed up more and more, and as I say, the geometry gets more complicated, the music's amusing, kind of quite frenetic. It feels like a really good retro arcade game. It's just got that arcade feel, if you were in an actual arcade putting money in, and yeah, it's loads of fun. Completely throwaway and simplistic again, not deep. There's going to be no prequel or backstory about his time in the bunker. Or well, maybe there will. But yeah, it's I've been enjoying that. And aside from that, it's been dropped 7 because they, what must be 2 weeks after the iOS 4 update before they bothered patching it. I'm sure they did patch it, but before it came through and was approved. So I went cold turkey for a while, but I'm right back on it now, thankfully. So that's me. That's my gaming. Will, after you. Well, not after you. After me.
After you. I have been playing mainly two games this week, both on the iPad, although I did actually play one of them on the iPhone. That game was Godfinger. It's a game where you mainly touch. gentle touch. No, it's a bit. Well, no, I don't like it. Okay, I'll be brutally honest here. I did write a guide. The guide is now up on the site. Because I've been playing it quite some time now. Leveling up. I've been power leveling. Well, I did at first because I was an idiot. It took up like a whole day. I was just sat there looking at the iPad going, 4 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, gold, 10 golds, 20 gold. More gold. I'm out of mana. I have to wait. Waiting is boring. Waiting is boring. There's more gold. So, yeah. So after that experience, I decided that actually this probably isn't the way to play the game, and I became a lot more normal, and and wrote this guide, and so that people don't fall into the same trap as I did.
Normal people don't usually write guides.
Yeah, I don't like the game. You know, the main reason why I don't like the game is that it's not really a game. It's just a thing. It's a thing that wants you to do stuff when you don't want to do that stuff. If you get what I mean.
Exactly. Game, yeah.
Something like Farmville,
like We Rule. A game is like, it's something you go to have entertainment, to have fun. You know, my Xbox and my iPad and my iPhone and my DS and everything, they don't walk up to me in the middle of the night and say, hey, there's a play right now.
Your argument against, you know, for being normal is weakening with every minute.
Well, you know, but this is what happened to me on Godfinger. It just, like, in the middle of the night, I'm just about to fall asleep. Just getting, I shouldn't have put push notifications on, but it,
yeah, I was just going to say, you can turn those off.
It seemed clever at the time. During the day, I was thinking, I don't want to check it every 4 minutes. I'm going to put on push. Put it on push, it'll light up next to me, I'll be fine. Unfortunately, it didn't disable it when it gets to like 2 a.m. So I'm sitting there, the iPad nearby, because I've been reading a book just before I went to bed. And then the bloody thing lit up my room, and that damn thing is bright when the room's
yeah.
So it just woke me up. I can get to sleep.
Like God rays.
2 hours. Yeah, basically, the God thing was coming down from high and annoying me and waking me up. So yeah, I don't like that game.
Your medieval farm has produced gold.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It's quite... I love the visual style. I mean, it's cute. Mm. It's just,
style's good.
The gameplay is just so repetitive and so shallow, you know?
It's not even really gameplay. Yeah. It's just dragging onto other things and then waiting.
The definition of what a game is being stretched by social networks and the iPhone and iPad. It's bizarre how many people are happy to basically take up an unpaid job in the name of entertainment. Another job on top of their 9-to-5 day job and any other responsibilities they have to run a farm as well, in which I have to keep appointments, or let's be a god, in which I have to keep appointments, or let's play at shooting cowboys. Although I don't have to keep appointments, so
that one's
I am vindicated there.
You actually had to do something in that.
Yeah, yeah, there's some interactive element in terms of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that wasn't the only game I was playing this week. Thank God I was over mad, which we have now established is not the case. Mm-hmm. I was also playing Osmos, which came up the iPad at the weekend, I think. Yeah, I'm going to reveal not too much. I don't want to give away the review. You've got to still read it. But I really liked it. I thought it was very good. I thought it was a very interesting game that I initially thought wasn't going to be good. And my initial thoughts were actually that this was going to be another pretentious indie title. And I mean, I know a lot of people go mad about those sort of titles which have that sort of atmosphere. That sort of like, it's very slick. It's got a down tempo electronica soundtrack, and everything's so dreamy. But I don't get very excited about them unless I'm actually enjoying what I'm doing in them. And while Osmos initially starts out being exactly like one of those games, to quote one of the games, I mean, on the iPad I also played. It's not quite in the same category, but it has the same feel. Ozone HD, which is boring. Mm. It's a boring game. It doesn't.
Oh, I liked Ozone.
I know. I don't hate it. I just think it's a bit dull. Osmos had that same feeling at the start of the game where I thought, it's nice, but it's a bit boring. But unlike Ozone, it really develops as the game's going through. It keeps mm-hmm. surprising you. And while the main story isn't that long, I mean, it is quite hard actually near the end, but it's not that long. Every single new level is essentially almost completely different to the previous one. So it keeps you guessing, even though the main basic structure and the main basic rules of the game never change, the actual feeling of the game, the atmosphere and the gameplay does change, which is odd. It's it's unusual, and I really liked it because of that. Also, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool game. It's got a nice electronic soundtrack as well.
Sounds good. Sounds dreamy.
It's pretty dreamy, actually. Yeah.
Well, with that dreamlike state rubbing sleep from our eyes, I think we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
We've been talking more than long enough. It's been quite self-indulgent. So with that, I think we've said enough. I don't know if I'm on next week. It will just be a random surprise as to which presenters you get. But that's farewell from me.
Farewell from me.
Farewell from me.